Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to On Fire to Inspire with your host, Miss On Fire to Inspire herself, Aaliyah Butler. I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight on this awesome, awesome show. I tell you, I have been having technical issues all day long, but God is going to get the glory. Amen. We have an awesome, awesome show tonight. The topic last week was Don't carry your gifts to the grave. Well, tonight we're talking about giving voice to your vision. And we have the one and only certified life coach, ordained minister and author, Rita Thomas. We want to welcome Rita to the show. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, Rita. And I do apologize for the tardiness.
Hi, how are you doing?
How are you?
Can you hear me? How are you doing?
Yes, ma'am. Loud and clear. Can you hear me?
I can. Loud and
great,
clear.
Great, great. Great, great, great. Well, I do apologize. I tell you, I had all these issues. AT&T has been out, and we got everything resolved. So I praise God for that. And we're going to make sure that the people who tune in, that they tell other friends to listen to the recording as well. But I am sending out every possible way of communication to let them know we're live. We're not letting anything hinder us or slow us down because
Absolutely. That's
what we're here for. We're on fire to inspire. Amen. We don't know who needs this tonight, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Amen. And again, I thank you so much for joining us, taking time out of your busy schedule and joining us on Fire to Inspire. So tell us, Rita, who is Rita Thomas? Tell us who that person is.
Well, you could say Rita Thomas is a variety, a tapestry of experiences, I would say. Professionally, I am a project manager, but I have been ministering and counseling for over 10 years, speaking for over 10 years. It's interesting how we set up our life the way we think it should go, and God changes it around, and you become something that you had no clue was within you. So it has definitely been a journey. It's definitely been a ride. It's definitely been a growth. And that's why I want so many people to learn how to not grieve their story, because when they grieve their story, they miss God's glory. Because what you think your life should be is not necessarily what He created you to be and who you created to serve. Your voice has an audience, and your voice needs to be heard. But the thing is, only with God's path, only with His guidance would you know exactly which genre or which area your gift should be exploited or explored. So it's so very, very critical that so many of us don't just get caught up in the tunnel vision of life. So for the last few years, I've definitely been ministering. Of course, I still take so much of that. You know, when it's a part of you, you take so much of that wherever you go. So I'm always training. I'm always instilling principles of integrity and standards and boundaries, even on the job, because so many people will get caught up in people. You know, it's very easy to get caught up in people, get caught up in places, even get caught up in the job and the money. But you don't know, God might have sent you there on assignment for something totally different, because He can easily make you find the money that you work for.
Yes.
You don't necessarily have to be placed there to get the money that you receive. So sometimes we have to get out of self and get out of flesh to realize that there is a bigger thing happening when you are placed strategically in places that may have turmoil, that may have tests, that may have trials, that may stretch you. Because when you say yes to God, when you give that hard yes, that does not mean you're at the top of the mountain. It only means you agreed to the climb.
Wow. I love it. That is powerful, Rita. Powerful. Now, and I'm still basking in that last thing you said about when you grieve your story, you grieve God's glory. And so many times people don't want to share their story. So many times people just, you know, they clam up and they want to hide because of what they've been through. But God can get his greatest glory out of what you thought was going to take you out, you know?
Right. I mean, the perfect example, I mean, there are so many examples we see in our day-to-day life. But the perfect example that I can easily go to is Sarah Jakes, T.D. Jakes' mm-hmm. daughter. Beautiful okay. young lady, beautiful spirit. And the thing is, you're the daughter of this mega pastor, and you get pregnant at 13. So just imagine the scrutiny. Just imagine everything that she had to go through. Number one, being a PK is hard enough. I don't care right. if the church is 30 people or 30,000 people. Being a preacher's kid is already a lot of pressure within itself. So being a preacher's kid within that type of magnitude, you can just imagine the pressure. But then you still have your own adolescent pressure, your own puberty pressure, your own individuality pressure. And then you caught up in this. And then to come from this and go, you know what? I'm still going to try to make it. I'm still going to do all of these things. And even though she stumbled along the way, and she felt like she wasn't worthy, the more and more she started healing throughout the years and started sharing her testimony, grown women who were grandmothers, grown women coming and crying and being healed through her testimony. Because so many of us, as women especially, we will hold things in, and it becomes an ulcer within. And we keep putting on this plastic smile saying we're fine, when in actuality we are not. And we'll look at people within our families and within our friendships, and we will do everything within our power to help them birth their vision, to help them see their goals come to pass, to help them see their visions, their dreams, whatever it is. We'll become number one cheerleader, but then we become the biggest critic when it comes to us just stepping out on faith and birthing a vision of our own. So we have to understand that there is so much healing. There's so much healing in your test. That's why it says your test will be your testimony. Because you do not know, as you keep your mouth shut and you keep saying you fine, how many people that you were meant to bless with your testimony.
Yes.
That are meant to be healed. Because all of us are called to minister in one way or another. All of us are called to say something that can help somebody. You don't know if it's technical. You don't know if it's just a simple hug. You don't know. You know, there are some people who just compliment just because. They always see the good in people. There are some people who are teachers. There are some people that just love on people and they can see the good in them. And there are some people that they don't criticize, but they will love you to coercion to get you correct. And they love you with the love of God. And you can feel that love. And even though they are stern with you, you know they're not coming from a bad place, and it makes you better. And I call that spirit the mothers of the church spirit. Because those are the ones that you will remember through a lifetime. And you say, you know what, if it wasn't for teacher so-and-so, if it wasn't for this person on the job, you know, I would have been a mess. I really didn't have my act together. And they told me information that made me mad at the time, but it made me better. And that's the key of giving voice to your vision. Because the way we do that, we must become transparent unto ourselves. As long as we're putting up this ghostly frame and we're camouflaging ourselves to try to look good depending upon who we're around, you will never be truly authentic to do exactly what you were called to do. And God called you to be original. It's too many copies out here.
I love it. Amen. You know, so many people don't even know their true identity. And when you don't understand your true identity, I say this all the time, if you don't know who you are, anyone can take you anywhere. Excuse me, anyone can tell you anything and take you anywhere because you don't know where you're going and you don't know who you are. So I love it. I love it. I absolutely love it. So tell me, you are the founder and CEO of Focus for You. Tell us a little bit about your organization.
Focus for You is really an outreach. And it's an outreach where I do empowerment sessions, I do workshops, I do one-on-one life coaching if need be, I do personal and professional branding. I help people see that vision. I help people navigate, it might be just their regular life, help them navigate through that, because it's so many times we just become a fog within our own situation. You'll see people and they're just going through the motions. And you'll ask them something simple like, what makes you happy? And they cannot answer that. What's your favorite color? And they cannot answer that. What's something that would make you really shine from within? And they cannot answer that. That's a problem. But if you ask them what their daughter or their son or their husband, those same three questions, they can answer that. They can give you a bio. They can run down the list. That's a problem, because we cannot really uphold and nurture and truly minister those around us in totality unless we minister unto ourselves. We give out so much virtue. And when you give out all that virtue, next thing you know, you are empty. So where's your virtue to fuel the vision? You don't have it. So what do we start doing? We start looking for accommodations and somebody needs to give me appreciation from work. You know, we want this extra from our husband and extra from our kids, and we're feeling unappreciated and we're feeling used and abused when in actuality everybody else is going through their own story. Everybody else is going through their own walk. They're not understanding that you are personally getting scars within yourself, because you're like, I'm pouring so much out, and who's pouring into me?
Wow. We're giving voice to everyone else's vision but our own.
Exactly. And the thing is you become more and more powerful when you understand that it is not vain to believe in yourself. It is not vain to actually say that there's power within me, there's boldness within me, there's beauty within me, with or without a husband, with or without a man, with or without my kids, with or without my family, that I am okay, that I might have been a mess before, and I might still not quite be there right now, but guess what? I know where I'm trying to be, and even though I see all three scales of this coin, I'm all right with every last one of them. When you can say, I'm all right with me, then you can truly tell your story. See, you can tell when somebody is healed. When I can tell you about my wounds and show you my scars and I still don't feel the pain, that's when I'm healed.
I like that. Wow. I have a question that just popped up in one of the chats. And the question is, what can a person do to begin to find their own identity?
The first thing you can do is detach yourself. When you really want to find your own identity, what you have to do, I tell married couples to do this all the time. What you need to do, but you do this for yourself, what you need to do is detach your thought process from everybody. So just say, a lot of things that we do, we go, you know what, I'm doing this because I'm a mother. I'm doing this because I'm a wife. I'm doing this because I live here, or my family is this. Take all of those things away. See, that's the key. You need to take away the fact that you're a mother, the fact that you're a wife, the fact that you've been in a relationship for X amount of years or not, the fact that your parents were or were not whatever. Take all of that away and look at yourself bare bone as you, who you are, and what is it you like. Let me tell you something. The best healing that I received, my grandmother died. My grandmother passed away, and she basically raised me. And I just remember when she died, I said, that's my constant. And I couldn't say anything else except she was my constant. You know, people who love you regardless unconditionally take you as you are, period, right?
Yeah.
So
right.
What I found out is bit by bit after that, because we're still going through life, so I really didn't get a chance to mourn. So this,
right.
I hope this helps somebody. I really didn't get a chance to mourn. So what I found myself doing is being attracted to things that reminded me of who I was with her. And as I started doing those things, I started realizing my favorite color isn't blue, it's green.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't like this. I like that. I really, the only reason I go here is because of this, that, and the other. You have to start making it okay for you to discover yourself. What is it that actually makes you happy? When you go outside, do you see the green grass? Do you realize when the seasons change? Do you realize what days that you like better than others? My favorite days are not sunny days. My favorite days are actually overcast days, gray days.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the best days of meditation and reflection for me. I never thought of that. Those are the days that when I was growing up, I would actually take time for me and sit in my room and probably look at my favorite show and just kind of wind down. Not because somebody told me, it just became a habit. What is it that makes you click? See, that's what's going to get you closer to it. What is it that makes you click when nobody is looking? What is it that makes you smile if nobody else is smiling with you? What is it that makes your heart beat just a little faster when you're just doing it, when you're just thinking about it, when you're experiencing it? That will get you closer and closer to your niche. That will get you closer and closer to your gift. What is it that you do without anybody asking you to, and it comes so natural that it almost scares you? That's how you're going to find out. A lot of times people's biggest criticism of us is actually the closest thing to our gift. I'll give you an example. When I was little, my grandmother used to always say it. I was so crazy. She said, girl, you're so crazy. You give people the shoes off your feet, which was the truth. You're so crazy. You'll let people ride your bike, and you know this doggone neighborhood child, they'll steal your stuff. You ain't even thinking about that stuff. She said, you so friendly. You just ain't never met a stranger. She would say it so much, I thought it was a negative thing. But now, let's look at 360, where God has me now. That's how he structured me to be. My husband always said, you know what, I don't see how you can talk to so many people. I can't deal with all kind of personalities. I really can't do that. I'm not even seeing how you can listen to them and go through all that. That's too much drama for me. And I'm like, I don't see it as drama. Everybody got something they're going through. Some people just need more help than others to figure out what and why and how can I get out of it. And that's the key thing about focus. A part of focus for you, focus is an acronym. Focus means find opportunities and create unique success. You can use that in every aspect of your life. When you're feeling down, when you're getting caught up, when somebody's dragging you into situations that you know you did not deem on yourself, you need to find the opportunities to create unique success. Does that mean I need to sit here and argue with you over something that really matters nothing to me? If you are in a job that is really draining you and making you sick, and you know that you need to do something completely different, you need to find the opportunities to create unique success. That means that you might need to go back to school. That means that you need to do something that you, within your heart, desires to do. So many of us, within our age, we're in careers that we didn't pick. Other people picked for us.
Yes.
And then we realize when we're 30 and 40 and we're already wrapped up in life that that's really not what we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're trying to figure out how in the world do I really end up doing what I need to do and how am I going to find the money to do it. But let me tell you something, when God gives you the vision, he will definitely give you provision. He will strategically place you around the right people in the right places in due season for you to be heard, for you to be seen, but we cannot be weary in well-doing. We have to move within our faith and believe in what he tells us and do the research and do the work and go, you know what, God, you've given me this voice. I need to say something with it. I need to believe it. I need to go forth with it. If you're a wonderful cake baker, then you need to perfect that cake, and you need to know who your competitors are, and you need to know what your niche is. I say follow the signs. God messes with me with words, so please forgive me, but that's how he does me. So you know how we always ask God to show us a sign?
Mm-hmm.
What I see, how he showed me signs is it is our service. It is our intent. It is our gift, and it is our niche. So whatever he gives you for the universe, it's going to be a service unto the universe. You're going to be serving some people. You know, you need to know your demographic and then your intent. What exactly is it for? Is it to feed them? Is it to heal them? Is it to help them? You know what I'm saying? Is it to shelter them? There is always an intent there. Then what exactly is your gift? Is it baking? Is it making people laugh? Is it being, is it telling stories? That's the gift part. Then what is your niche? Where exactly within that demographic are you? Are you a burger maker or are you a steak cooker? You need to know exactly within that niche where you are. He will show you that sign. And when he gives you a glimpse of his goodness, then it's up to us to use faith and go forward.
I love it. Use faith and go forward. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. This topic is near and dear to your heart. Tell us a little bit about why this is so near and dear to your heart.
It's near and dear for a variety of reasons. I've seen people within my lifetime who I knew had great possibilities within them. Great, like smart, you know, just brilliant, and make so many bad choices.
Mm-hmm.
So many bad choices. And when you see people put their potential on pause and let their doubt delay them, it's a hurtful thing. And they don't even, and when God has you sensitive in the spirit to other souls, like he, which I have accepted because I'm very sensitive to the draw of people's souls, what they desire, what they're looking for, what they're longing for, what they need, how they need to be ministered to, how they need to be counseled. When you have that feeling and you see that, he also shows you the open possibilities for those people. And you're seeing people where they say they want to learn. And even when they are given the skills or given some tips or given, you know, just a couple of free passes, they still, again and again, rather be in the cycle instead of walk on the water.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you walk in faith, God will have you walk in where others sink in.
Wow. Oh, girl, I got to put that in the check. Say that one more time.
When you walk on water, God will have you walk in things that other people will sink in. The thing is we're so busy listening to the other people. Perfect example. I know a young lady had a beautiful idea. I said, girl, go for it. Do that. Sounds great, right? Now, she told somebody within her family something. About a week later, she called me upset. I said, why are you upset? She said, girl, my auntie said they saw something similar. I said, and? She said, so I can't do it. I said, what? I said, whatever she saw similar is still not you.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody has your fingerprint. In all the world and all creation, God made everybody unique, including twins. That means your voice, your gift, anything that he's given to you, anything that he said to you in the late night hour, that is yours and yours alone. And it's for you to go out here and do it. You know, what if Burger King said, no, I can't be Burger King because of McDonald's? Red Lobster said, oh, I can't be Red Lobster because of Joe's Crab Shack. Mm-hmm. Bank of America said, no, I can't be Bank of America because of Wells Fargo. Publix, I can't be Publix because of Kroger. Denzel, I can't be Denzel because of Will Smith. Really, y'all? Everybody has their own little niche. Think about it. Think about Luther Vandross. What if he said, "Woo, I can't sing," because there's plenty of people out here singing, like Nat King Cole and Temptations and Otis Redding and all. This is, who am I? You, Luther. He called you for such a time as this. He called you so people can understand that there is more to love than the physicality. There is more to love than just saying something today and doing something different tomorrow, that there's an essence to it. There's a soul tie to it. There's a spirit to it. There's a feeling to it that you don't even have to touch anybody to convey, that you can sing it, that you can relate it. You can write the lyrics down and go, wow, that person has my back. That's a gift.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. So very true. So very true. Wow. Now, I have a chat that just came over, and the question says, what if you tell the person, but they won't move forward? Is that the best time to drop them? Last part of that is, how long do you give them a chance?
Well, the chance is not in your hands. I think that's where we get our frustration.
Mm-hmm.
We think the chance is in our hands. The chance is actually in their hands.
Mm-hmm.
So put it this way. If I tell you, say you come to me and say, this is what I want to do with my life, da-da-da-da-da, whatever, and I give you clues and tips on exactly which way you need to start, you don't tell them the whole story because you don't know their whole story. You tell them how to start. Mm-hmm. It's up to them to start or not. You have to look at it this way. I heard this from Oprah. She said, I've learned throughout the years that it's in the spirit that I do things that matters. How you choose to receive it is none of my business. So if God laid on my spirit to go somewhere expensive and buy you a gift and to make sure that I hand gift wrap it and then drive across town during the busiest time of day, and make sure that you're home and give it to you. God told me to do all of that stuff. And you know what? I was obedient and I did it all. And I get to the door and I open it and I hand it to you. And you take that gift and you don't open it. You don't welcome it. You actually slam it and crash it and destroy it right there in my face. That's none of my business. Because I was obedient to what I was supposed to do. You asked me for information and I gave it. Now, what you do with that information, that's on you. You stall yourself. So what we have to do is, I am here for service. Look at it this way. You go to Red Lobster.
Mm-hmm.
And you go ahead and you buy up a whole bunch of stuff. Right? Okay. And then the people eat up all the stuff. And they've eaten up everything, and then they go, I want it for free. That's not going to happen.
Mm-mm.
And guess what? Red Lobster not even going to be mad because their intent was to feed you, and guess what? You got fed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how you go about honoring that, again, the signs, your intent that goes along with that service, that's on you. So you're not holding on to that person, but what you don't do is let them drag you in. Each time that they come back around, they're asking you for more and more information. Guess what? You limit more and more. Because faith without works is dead. I am not here to work your vision. I am not here to birth it. I am not here to push it. I am like the prenatal vitamins. I can go in and you can take them or you cannot take them. But guess what, boo-boo? The hard work is on you.
I like that. So, Rita, how what would you tell a person that is ready to give voice to their vision. They're ready. They've said, I'm no longer going to procrastinate. I'm no longer going to be that person that's going to allow fear to stagnate me any longer. I'm ready to move forward. What would you say to that person?
First, I would say write the vision down. Write it in completion. Do not be scared to literally, there's a reason why it's in the Bible. There's a reason why it's lasted for so many years. You must write it down. And not somewhere where you're going to put it and you're going to forget where you wrote it. No, if you're ready, you need to write it down where you're looking at it every day. And you need to write the vision down and do not limit the vision. Write it down how it was shown to you. It's not all going to come to pass immediately, but you need to see that glimpse of God's picture for you. It's huge, and it's magnificent. And when you're in the valley, you need to look at that glimpse. So now you've written it down. And I've given people like a little snapshot of what can happen in 90 days. So, okay, we've written the vision down, right? Okay, say we've never really done this before. Okay, we've written the vision down, and then you need to sit down and actually think with yourself, not thinking about who's linked to you, who you can network with. No, don't do that. He gave you the vision. So now you're sitting down to go, okay, how do I fit in this vision? And then when you say how I fit in this vision, you need to write that down. Okay, so what in this vision can I implement right now? You write that down. What name of it is coming into my spirit every time I think of this vision? You write that down. Not trying to think of some name that sound cute. You know how we try to get, you know, oh, yeah, you know, I'm going to put all my baby's names together and make it sound good. No, you write down what he's giving you in your spirit for that, and you write that down. Okay, now it's time for you to research. Okay, if that's the name, and this is what you're feeling like you can do, okay, and this is what you can do now, you need to research that name. Okay, if nobody has that name, I tell people immediately lock in that name in the domain. That's the least you can do. That's cheap.
Right.
Okay, right. Now that you've gotten that, because we need to see evidence.
Mm-hmm.
We need to see evidence. Because if we don't, then 3 months down the line, we go, yeah, I had an idea once, but, you know, no. If you're ready, then there's a reason that you were called for this thing. You have to write it down, and every day you must touch it.
Yes.
You must touch it. So in 30 days, you're seeing the growth. You're seeing what you've learned. You're seeing, okay, what genre are you in? Who are your competitors? What's your company's colors? You know, will your company be a co-op? Will your company be profit? Will your company be nonprofit? Will you just deal with churches? Will you deal with, people who are juveniles? Will you go into the schools? So many things that you can just, if you think about it and you touch it every day, you'll be surprised how God will reveal things to you because you are actually submitting to the task. It's very key that if you are serious, you dedicate starting out an hour, 30 minutes to an hour. I really say an hour to 2 hours, truthfully, an hour to 2 hours just thinking about it. An hour to 2 hours, see what kind of scriptures that confirm it for you. An hour to 2 hours to see what kind of things. They could be random because God gave me a big vision, and all of a sudden I started liking Vera Bradley. Who knew? And then it was certain things I liked about this purse company. And then I started researching the purse company. And then bit by bit, it was like I like the integrity. And I like the way it's done. I like how no two purses are the same. I like the uniqueness of it. And then I had to turn it back around and say, you know what? That's how my ministry is. That's how my coaching style is. That's part of focus. Because if you find opportunities that are created for unique success for yourself, guess what? You are unique. You are original. So nobody's going to have the same thing that you will have.
Right. I agree. Well, I tell you, this has been awesome. And I'm going to ask you for something that I never do, but I actually want to do a part two on Thursday if you are available. Since we had such bad technical difficulties and we got started 20 minutes late, I want to make sure that we get the totality of everything that needs to be said. So are you available
Absolutely.
On Thursday? All right, so we'll do Thursday.
The same time? We can do that. Absolutely.
I want to actually do an hour early if we can.
Okay.
7 p.m. I'll write
that down.
7 p.m. All right, 7 okay. p.m. Thursday. We're going to do this again. We're going to go in a little deeper. We're going to bring more of the audience on in. We do have people on. We're going to promote
I would love that.
For people to hear this, and then they'll be able to hear you again on Thursday because it needs to be heard, and I do not want to minimize anything that you're doing. And I will be honored if you, join us again on the platform. So tell them about your website. And then they will, if you are tuning in live now, we're going to come back. That's the lovely thing of being able to be flexible. We're going to tune in again this coming Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we're going to have part two of Ms. Rita Thomas giving voice to your vision because it's time to start living life now and stop existing. So give them your website.
Yes, it is Focus for You. Live or Focus for You, and you can say and live, but it's Focus for You Live, LIVE.com. And you can actually subscribe, email subscribe, because I actually do editorials, and then you can find out about upcoming events. You can also contact me directly to find out about one-on-one coaching, or if you want a small women's group, things of that nature, you can definitely contact me through that site. And you can find me also on Focus for You Live on Twitter, Facebook, as well as Instagram.
All right, great, great, great. So, guys, tune in. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your neighbors to tune in on Thursday. We're going to come back with Rita Thomas, 7 p.m. on Thursday, and get some more of this great word, give voice to your vision. So see you guys on Thursday. If you are available, dial in, log in on Blab IM for Mompreneurs on Fire. I will be their guest at 9 o'clock, so that's where we're wrapping up now. I will be their guest, and we're talking about the power of collaboration. So if you are available, go on and dial in on the Blab, log in, Blab IM, and I will see you guys soon. Thank you so much for your time tonight, Rita. Thank you to all
Absolutely.
Of our sponsors.
Absolutely, thank you.
And we will be back on Thursday. All right, God bless you.
All right, God bless.